From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. Fight for Ramadi into second day. A rocket launcher goes off. Iraqi troops continue fighting today in the city of Ramadi, where they're trying to reverse a major loss from earlier this year and reclaim the area from Islamic State militants. The offensive is in its second day with a focus on the city's government complex. Iraqi officials have expressed optimism that security forces will be in control of Ramadi within several days. James Jeffrey is a former diplomat to Baghdad.
This is a relatively slow-moving offensive. I suspect that they are making progress by all accounts. But it will probably take some time to clean the city out.
U.S.-led coalition warplanes have carried out airstrikes on ISIS targets on the outskirts of the city. U.S. military spokesman Army Colonel Stephen Warren said those strikes continue to show ISIS fighters that they have nowhere to hide.
I think the fall of Ramadi is inevitable. You know, the end is coming. But that said, it's going to be a tough fight.
Final victory would represent the second city to fall to Iraqi security forces. ISIS fighters continue to hold large areas of Iraq, including the cities of Fallujah and Mosul. The United States Tuesday urged Burundi to accept a proposed African Union peacekeeping force as part of a regional effort to ease tensions in the Central African nation. Elizabeth Trudeau is a U.S. spokesperson.
We have urged Burundi to accept the AAU mission. We will continue to support the deployment of these troops to protect civilians and to allow space for the internationally mediated dialogue to find a sustainable political solution to this crisis.
The Burundian government has rejected the AU plan, calling it an invasion force. Last week, the AU approved a six-month deployment of a 5,000-member force. This is VOA News. U.S.-based Human Rights Watch says governments around the world must intensify their efforts to bring remaining suspects from the Rwandan genocide to justice when the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda closes its doors at the end of the year. The rights group made the statement Wednesday, noting that the ICTR established important precedents in international criminal law and served as a predecessor for the International Criminal Court in The Hague. It said the ICTR, founded by the United Nations Security Council in 1994, indicted 93 people, sentenced 61, and acquitted 14. A Russian court has issued an international arrest warrant for Mikhail Khodorkovsky, former Yukos oil chief and critic of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Russian police accused Mr. Khodorkovsky, who is now based in London, of ordering the killing of the mayor of a Siberian oil town. Mr. Khodorkovsky denies the charges. On Wednesday, he said via social media that the charges are a response to his pro-democracy work. The businessman was arrested in 2003 and convicted of tax evasion and fraud. Mr. Khodorkovsky says those charges, which resulted in a decade in prison, were motivated by his financial support of the political opposition. The UN Security Council is demanding all parties in Syria immediately let food, medicine, and other badly needed humanitarian aid across war zones. The unanimous resolution expresses anger that those fighting in Syria have ignored previous UN demands and outrage that the violence seems to be getting worse. A young migrant worker has been rescued alive from the rubble of a massive landslide that wiped out an industrial park in southern China on Sunday. Emergency workers are racing to find any survivors in Shenzhen, Guangdong province, after a large river of mud swept over the park and either destroyed or damaged 33 buildings. Representatives of the rebels and the government of South Sudan have held their first meeting aimed at ending a two-year conflict. The two sides met in the capital of Juba on Wednesday in the hopes of forming a transitional government of national unity. Festus Mogae is chairman of the Jonet Monitoring and Evaluation Commission.
We will encourage and accelerate progress on all fronts, facilitate dialogue, and overcome difficulties in implementation. And I reiterate that we are all of us, duty-bound to take all necessary actions to ensure the agreement is fulfilled.
The war has killed tens of thousands of people and displaced more than 2 million from their homes. The Tunisian government Tuesday extended for another 2 months a state of emergency following a deadly bus bombing last month that killed 12 presidential guards. For more on all these stories, visit our website at voanews.com. This is Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.